Making disciples, reproducing disciples is the ultimate test of discipleship. Are you reproducing disciples? Who is in your life that you are making more like Christ, that you are leading them to Christ?
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Discipleship 5, Reproducing, by Pastor Abadon Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our goal is to create an atmosphere of genuine worship and community, focusing on God and loving one another as we make Christ visible in all things. Come join us at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or check us out online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message.
The Andy Griffith Show is one of my favorite shows on TV. If nothing's on, put it on Andy Griffith. And in my opinion, Barney Fife is the one who makes the show. Would y'all agree with that if you've seen it? He is the one who makes that show. And one of my favorite episodes is the one when Andy deputizes Floyd the Barber and two other townsfolk. Y'all remember that one? Some of y'all do. And it's funny because, as always, Barney takes over and says, Andy, let me handle this. And he launches into that speech what it means to be an officer of the law. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Let me tell you how that works, men. And he gives that speech, and he is the weapons expert, so he, sure enough, pulls out his gun and shows them how to handle the firearm, which they cannot have. And then he does the inevitable, which is puts it in his holster, and what happens? Fires it. Now, why do I bring up Barney? Because as lovable as he is, and as loyal as he is not the one to train anybody. There are many people in church who are lovable and who are loyal, but they are not the ones to make disciples. This morning, to make disciples, you have to be a disciple. And if you are a disciple, you will make disciples. In fact, making disciples, reproducing disciples, is the ultimate test of discipleship. Are you reproducing disciples? Who is in your life that you are making more like Christ, that you are leading them to Christ? If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Luke chapter 6. And the entire message on the blog site, on the screen, many ways to keep up with it. But let's all stand once again for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 6, verse 39, it says, and he, meaning Jesus, spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. We're going to see in a few moments how this passage and the verses following give us the guidelines on reproducing that tell us the method and the understanding of Jesus in reproducing disciples. But before we do that, here are some questions. Number one, are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you following Christ? And number two, if you are a disciple of Jesus, whom are you discipling right now? Who are the people in your life? Maybe family members, maybe co-workers, maybe neighbors. Who are you discipling? Who are you leading to walk closer to Christ? Now today we come to the last message in this acronym that we created, WATER, which is the goal of discipleship, when we come to R. But just for the benefit of all of us, each letter stands for an aspect of discipleship. W is witnesses. A disciple should be a witness to Christ. They should have a testimony. A is accountability. Men should have men in their lives. Women should have 3 to 5 women in their lives who are mature, who are confidential. They don't meddle in your business, but they help you and they hold you accountable. T is togetherness. It blows my mind. It baffles me when someone says, I am a Christian, but I don't have to go to church. It's like saying, I love you, I just hate your body. If you love Jesus Christ, you will love his body, the church. E, last weekend, was established in the Word. A disciple bases his life or her life on the truth of Jesus Christ, which is not just the four Gospels, it is Genesis to Revelation. And this morning we come to R. A disciple should be reproducing other disciples, should be making more disciples. Now, where do we get this concept from? We get it from the Great Commission. Listen again to Matthew 28 and verse 16. Then the 11, what's the word? Disciples. They went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And what happens? And Jesus came and spoke to them and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then what did he say? Go therefore and make disciples. He told his disciples to go and make more disciples. He wasn't talking just to those 11. He was talking to disciples all through the ages. Men and women, boys and girls, all through the ages, he was telling them, make more like you who will follow me. This morning, we're going to learn what it means to reproduce disciples, to make more followers of Jesus Christ. Now, the passage we just read when we stood up from Luke chapter 6 gives us three basic guidelines in making disciples. Three basic guidelines. Number one is this. It's a general principle. Spiritual blindness will keep you from reproducing disciples. If your eyes are not open to the truth of God and the work of God, it'll be very hard for you to understand the concept of making disciples. Listen again to verse 39. And he spoke a parable to them, can the blind lead the blind? Now, who was Jesus talking to? He was talking to the Pharisees and the scribes. You see, these were the blind leaders. These were people who did not have spiritual sight, spiritual vision. They were always around Jesus, but only to find fault in him. For example, when Jesus and his disciples were walking through the grain fields, and his disciples were hungry, and they reached out and they pulled some heads of grain, and they began to rub them in their hands and eat them, they popped up and said, what are they doing? They're breaking the law on the Sabbath. Instead of saying, guys, are y'all hungry? Now, we don't agree with you, Master, but are you hungry? Here, take some bread. Don't break the law. Take some bread. Here's some bread. They were waiting to catch him doing wrong. And then in Luke chapter 6, later on, we see him going into a synagogue, and there was a man whose right hand had withered away. Now imagine, this man is like this. He can't work if he's a right-handed man. He cannot pick up his kids. He cannot cook for himself very well. I mean, he's doing the best he can. He is there. Jesus walks in on the Sabbath and heals him. Instead of rejoicing with this man and saying, wow, man, I'm happy for you. Wow, Jesus, he's amazing. Now, we still got a lot to kind of work through, but wow, this is amazing. You know what they said? Listen to this verse, verse 11. They were filled with, what's the word? They got angry. Here's a man whose hand is functioning again, and they're filled with rage, and their question is, they discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. Should we hang him? Or should we stab him? They were so spiritually blind. And by the way, Jesus kept calling them blind guides, blind Pharisees. Listen to Matthew 23. You know it was like fingernails on chalkboard for them. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. He says it again, verse 24. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence look like our dishwasher. You know, the outside looks nice. You look at the home. Ooh. And then what does he call them? Blind Pharisee. You know, when Jesus said, "Can the blind lead the blind?" he was talking about these guys who did not have a spiritual vision, spiritual eyesight. He said, "Cleanse the inside of the cup and dish that the outside of them may be clean also." Listen very carefully. When it comes to disciple making, when it comes to reproducing disciples, there is a reason why many people in churches are incapable of making disciples. It's because they don't have spiritual sight. They cannot see it. That's why they come to church, and here's a young family, here's a young person give their life to Christ, there's an older person over there coming to church for the first time, and they're like, "Oh, the bulletin ain't right. Well, I tell you what, it's too hot in this place." Did you see that lives are being changed? Well, I tell you what, somebody sat in my seat, they do that again, I'm not coming back. There's a reason why most people do not get the concept of making disciples, of reproducing disciples, is because they don't have spiritual vision. They cannot see what God is doing all around them. And if they do try, all they produce are more blind disciples, just like them. Are you spiritually blind as well? Do you have spiritual? Can you see what God is doing? Can you perceive His work in the lives of people all around you? Because if you cannot, you will not get the concept of reproducing disciples. The blind cannot lead the blind. So, first, Jesus gives this general requirement, this principle of reproducing disciples, in that spiritual blindness will keep you from reproducing disciples. But now he talks to the students. Listen to what he says. Verse 40. And the point is, disciples, select your teachers wisely. Listen to verse 40. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Now, who was Jesus talking to at this point? I believe he was talking to the disciples of the Pharisees and the scribes. You know, the Pharisees and the scribes, they had their long robes and their shawls and everything. But behind them were these younger group who also had their little robes and little shawls. And Jesus was saying to them, "Hey, listen, you follow this guy right here. Let me tell you something. A disciple is not above his teacher," which means this: you will never exceed where he is. And when you are perfectly trained, guess what? You're going to look like him. Is that what you want? A disciple is not above his teacher, which means this: whoever you're following, you're going to become like that person. The Pharisees and the scribes were hypocrites. Disciples, if you follow these, you'll become hypocrites when you're perfectly trained. He's being sarcastic at this point. Now I want you to pay attention on the screen to what Jesus said about the Pharisees in Matthew 23. Then Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat." You know, they're teachers of the law. "Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do." Means they tell you to do something, do it. "But do not do according to their works," means do not copy their lifestyles. Now listen to how he fleshes it out. "For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." So, what is the point that Jesus is making? He's making this point. When you have these Pharisees and scribes to be your mentors, this legalistic bunch to mentor you, keep in mind, they're going to load you with heavy loads, but they will not do it themselves. Here's my question to you. What kind of teachers do you have in your life? I'm very selective about who I'm going to follow. Because if those people will just load me with heavy burdens, oh, he's a great pastor. He has a big church, but if he's going to load me with heavy burdens, I don't want to follow him. Oh, so-and-so, he's an amazing man. He's a strong leader in church, but if he's not nice and kind and loving to his wife, don't follow that person. Oh, this lady right here, oh, did you see that lesson? Whew, amazing. But she has no time for her children. She's loading you down with heavy burden that she will not even do. Now listen to what Jesus says here. But all their works they do to be seen by men. Means in public they're all, oh, love Jesus. Oh, I'm humble. I'm a nobody. Just ignore me. But in the whole process, what they want you to do is come and say, oh, come on up. Please come have a seat. Oh, no, I'm going to sit right over here. No, come on up here. No, I want to say, just shut up and sit down somewhere. Now, at Clearview, people don't do that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too brash. Or y'all have way too much common sense and spiritual maturity. But in many places, I've seen people do that. On purpose, they will do things. They will stand up against the wall, and you have to beg them and say, come on up and sit. Or they'll sit down on the floor and say, oh, come on, take my seat. Oh, no, I'm okay. It's like so much commotion that you are getting the attention you're trying to get. Listen to what Jesus says here. It's on the screen. They made their phylacteries broad and enlarged the borders of their garments. So when they walk, you can see them coming. They have these robes swinging. How does that translate? In our world today, they got a huge Bible under their arms, and you know, godly right there. Now listen to this. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Folks, this applies to men and women. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Jesus saw through them. He says, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. Oh, sister so-and-so, I tell you, she walks close to Jesus. She's just godly. Well, don't try to sit in sister so-and-so's seat in church. She'll send you to Jesus. Brother so-and-so, I tell you, well, he's a pillar of the church. If we didn't have him, now I tell you, nothing would work out over here. Well, he's got the mind of God. I've seen another mind in a deacon's meeting when you try to oppose brother so-and-so. The point is this, select your teachers wisely because you will become like them. Who do I need in my life? I don't need a perfect person in my life because there is none, right? There is no perfect man, perfect woman. I need someone who could say with the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1, what did Paul say? Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. I want someone who is bent on following Christ. If I can find that person, they don't have to be perfect. They don't have to be the most godly. Let's pray. But I know that that man, that woman has a desire for God. You see, when it comes to reproducing disciples, number one, spiritual blindness will keep you from desiring to make disciples. But number two is, if you are a disciple, select your teacher wisely. Some of you have a teacher who is long since dead, but you're still trying to follow their advice. If they're godly, great. If they're not, it's time to bury them. Find another teacher. You say, it's hard. I know it's hard. That's why you have to pray and say, God, send the right people. I'm praying right now for some of you that God will send godly men or godly women into your life. I'm also praying that you will be a godly man and godly woman in someone else's life. Disciple makers. But here's number three. Before you can cross-examine, you have to self-examine. Folks, this is all coming from Luke chapter 6. You know, sometimes we've taken these passages and talked about judging people and all that. This is not about judging people. This is about leading people. Before you can point your finger in someone's chest, look at yourself. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 41. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? I can again hear the disciples laughing. A huge telephone pole is sticking out of your eye, and you're saying, you got to get that out of your eye. I'm telling you, you need to reject sin. It's no use being bitter in life, and you need to learn to forgive. Well, you are bitter. You haven't talked to your family in years. You are mad at your neighbor. You can't get along with people in church, but you're expecting me to be kind and forgiving? Listen to what Jesus says. Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite. See, he's talking to the Pharisees and the scribe. Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your own brother's eye. Now, I have our own staff. They're part of my accountability group. But I told them one day, I said, listen very carefully. If you see things in my life that are contrary to the Word of God, follow the Word of God. Follow Christ. Don't ever put me on a pedestal. Don't ever put me in a place where you think, man, he's doing it. It's working. No, it's a mistake. Pray for me. Confront me. Pray that the Holy Spirit would open up my eyes that I may see it. Because it's so easy to say you and you. And if you only stop doing this and if you only start doing that. But the whole time, I'm not doing those things. Or I'm doing those things. Self-examine before you can cross-examine, if you want to be a teacher, if you want to be a disciple maker, if you want to reproduce disciples. Our time is short. Robbie Galati, you've heard me mention his name. He's a pastor, a young pastor, has written much on discipleship. I've learned a lot from him. He lists four qualities that are the goal of reproducing disciples. This is for men. This is for women. Young, old, doesn't matter what walk of life, working hard, you're retired, in home, out home, doesn't matter. If you are making disciples, these are the four things that you are trying to achieve in the lives of those that you're making disciples. Let me tell you, where's my first discipleship circle? Is not these guys or another group, my own two boys. If I cannot make disciples of Christ out of them, what's the use? Robbie Galati gives four. Number one is this. When you are reproducing disciples, your goal is to make believers who are under the rule of Christ. Not your rule, not your convictions, not your preferences. They're under the rule of Christ. Now here's the catch. Here's the catch. If you're teaching them to do things that are contrary to Christ, be careful because they are questioning your leadership. Many times we give a lot of stuff to our kids that are contrary to the Word of God. And then we wonder why they don't follow us. Because they see the hypocrisy. Number two, believers who repeat the Word of God. My daddy always used to say, who cares what your daddy always used to say? That's right, I said it. I want to know if my daddy and whatever he said, did it come from the Word of God? Like mama used to say. Who cares what mama used to say? I want to teach my children to repeat the Word of God. Here's number three. Believers who reflect the image of Christ means when you are perfectly trained, you should not look like me. You should not look like a Sunday school teacher. You should not look like your favorite preacher or your parent. You should look like Christ. His truth, His wisdom, His grace, His mercy, His strength, His courage. You should look more like Christ. That's the product. And number four, Robbie Galati says, believers who replicate the process of Christ. What is the process of Christ? If you remember the first message, Jesus began with the crowd. All people. Then he went to the congregation, the multitudes who followed him. Then he went down to the community, the disciples, the 12 and the 70, whom he began to train. And then he went even closer to the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. When we're making disciples, listen, please listen carefully. We should be helping those that we're discipling to understand this process and to replicate it. Crowd, congregation, community, inner circle. Now go and make disciples. I'm expecting my boys and my girls to make disciples. Here's a question for all of us. If reproducing is the ultimate test of discipleship, witnesses, accountability, togetherness, establishing the word, reproducing is the ultimate test of discipleship, how is your discipleship? Whom are you discipling right now? Who are the two or three that you're pouring your life into, but in the process, you're pouring the life of Christ into them? He said, I don't have any. I want to, but no one comes. Could it be that God is saying you got to deal with this in your life first? If not, you'll be a blind leading a blind. You know, the book of Genesis begins with God creating man in his own image. And what did God say to them, man and woman? Be fruitful and multiply. When Jesus came and became the new Adam, what did he tell his disciples? Go and multiply. Paul told young Timothy, the things I'm teaching to you, entrust to other godly men. Help them to grow in this so they can give it to someone else. Men, women, young, old, whatever vocation of life, if you are a disciple, you should be making disciples. I care about making disciples, not just because Jesus told us to, but it's also if you care about our world, even our nation, you should be making disciples. We fuss at young people for this and that and their values these days and the way they believe and how can they believe that way. Whom are you discipling? Most churches are just griping sessions, how the things used to be and how things are not like they used to be. Well, wow, Einstein, you figure that out. Whom are you discipling? Where are you making a difference in some young person's life? So I'm going to take these two people. I'm going to take those three. Now, don't go up to them and say, from now on, I'm making you as a disciple. They'll run from you. Don't do that. But you begin in an own way and say, hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, I came across this passage. Check this out. Isn't that cool? That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Break time, we're going to have a 5-minute devotion. Welcome to join us. Hey, we're having something at church. You want to come check it out? It'll just be an hour. It'll be a lot of fun. You know what you're doing? You're making disciples. But if you're not a disciple, you can't make disciples. You're spiritually blind. All this is just, I just wanted to go to church today. You need to receive Christ as your Savior. The Holy Spirit opens your eyes and you see what needs to happen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's message. The true test of discipleship is being able to reproduce other disciples who will follow after God. Make sure that the people you are following are godly examples, and ask God to help you be a godly example in someone else's life. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.